Podcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor Gale speaking. And our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. We're glad you tuned in with us. We praise the Lord for this crowd here this morning. I was just sitting there, not even noticing. But I praise the Lord, He sent you this way this morning. We got a good number. Well, they said this work is dead, didn't they? They thought it was going to close up. But it don't look like it's going to close up, and I praise the Lord for it. We just rejoice and praise the Lord for you and you out in Radio Land. Our Father this morning, how we praise Thee for victory today through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His precious blood that is our covering. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the righteousness of God, which is Christ. And how Thou dost one day, You saw us as a sinner. We came to the place to where we were sinners. We saw ourselves. And how that God could have mercy upon us. But You saw us in our lower state, and You took that righteousness and You put it around us to hide all of that. And truly, Father, we rejoice this morning with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what Thou hast done for us since You saved us, and since You put us here, given us this ministry of reconciliation, calling sinners to be reconciled unto the Son, who joins hands together with the Father. Bring us You into that union, into that love, otherwise we've never known. Sinners dead in trespasses and sins. Lord Jesus, lead us this morning. Keep us in this hour. We ask to be with those that are sick. Our Father, those in the hospital, be ever near and dear unto them. May Thy grace be sufficient for them in this hour and throughout this day. And our Father, bless Thy people wherever they are, and may they have a special portion from Thee. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now give as the Lord leads you, and all the loose change you put into the baskets will go to the storehouse. So if you have any loose change in your pocket, just put it in there. It'll go to the buying of food for the needy to stock that storehouse again. And let me make this announcement. I forgot it last Sunday. If you have any extra clothes around in your house, any extra canned goods that you have put away and you might be saving for a rainy day, the storehouse can sure use it now, because we have the cry of the needy and we want to be able to meet that need. So dig around in your closets or in your food closet or what you call it, and see if you got any extra cans of good or food. Or if you have any money that you want to give to the storehouse that will help to buy the food and the clothing, we will sure appreciate it. And thank you for your cooperation. Now let's turn to 297 and sing its Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Let's stand as we sing. Come on and stand as we sing.
sing that third. Come on.
I have one that holds so bright and dear.
Been told. Any individual thinks I'm called to be pastor or not, that doesn't matter. I've got to voice my position over and over again. Because I'm being put to the task, I'm being challenged now by more and more by forces within the church and outside of the church. But as my salvation is between me and the Lord, my call in the ministry here in this pulpit is between me and the Lord. And I dare anyone to question God's leadership. And when an individual continues to question it and is not resolved in his mind, there's something wrong somewhere, and it's not with me. And it's not with God, but it's with the individual. I'm going to show you that this morning. I'm going to detour from my message of last week. God gave me this message Saturday morning. He put me on the bed Thursday and Friday. I couldn't think, couldn't pray. I could only look. And most of the time I was sleeping. But Saturday morning, by 4 o'clock, the Lord gave me strength and health and showed me some things, and why some sinners are not saved, why some are still in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity, why some have not grown an inch, saying that they are saved, and wonder why they're not rejoicing in Christ. I am, and I've been saved as long as some of you say you're saved. But why am I rejoicing in Christ as all and in all, and why he's precious to me, and I can get along with anybody, anyway, and be just as kind and loving and tender, and still, you're still of the same sort, bitter, always finding fault, always looking at people's mistakes, always knowing how things could be done just a little better. There's got to be reasons for that. Living things grow. And if Christ has made you alive, you're going to grow. You don't stay stunted, you grow. Now you listen to me this morning. God gives me grace and strength to bring this message. I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude. I don't know whether to have time to get through with this message or not, but may the Lord help us. Beloved, and that's the third verse of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards to destroy them that believed not, and the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains on the darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In like manner also these filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about by winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, forming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now that's some commentary there, isn't it? All right now. And let's look at that 11th verse. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now look at that word, that phrase there. In the way of Cain. They have gone in the way of Cain. Now, what was Cain's way? Cain was a self-willed individual. Now, that's the beginning of declension here. Self-will. All right, now you listen. And self-will is always accompanied by covetousness and lust. Now, woe, it says, woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now there's the pattern. Now let's put it together. And the end is judgment, or perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, you know, I dwelt a lot about Korah. I'm sure every one of us are familiar with the story of Korah's rebellion against Moses. Now, if I've seen anything so keen, so clear, this week, the end of this week, as I walked around Picayune there yesterday, I could see nothing but Korah before me. Here was Korah. Well, we'll go into that a little while. Now, just wait. Now, Korah, which means impenitent, that rejects God's authority and defies and slanders God's representative. Now, I'm exerting my authority up here. I'm going to make it clear to you here and to you out in radio land who have not accepted me as God's authority. I'm not going to mince words. Because your soul is at stake, your stand that you're taking is at stake. And you're wondering right now if you have made the right choice. But God's gonna put you on the line here this morning. But what I praise the Lord for is that every letter that I have received through the mail, and the office workers can tell you this, there's not a harsh note in it against me, but every one is a letter of acceptance to my pastorship here, which I praise the Lord for. Now, I didn't write these people to tell them and try to persuade them or try to make them accept me. Now, who did that? God did that. God did that. And just like you people here, the majority of you have accepted me, which I praise the Lord for. Now, I didn't go around to you and try to cast anything upon you or bribe you or try to get on your better side or your better good feelings. No, I didn't do that. I left it entirely up to the Lord. I knew if I was God's servant, He was going to give the people the confidence. And you have accepted me. I'm not out for gain. I'm not out for popularity. I'm not out for the favor of men, to please men. I want to please the Lord. And I know if I'm doing that, I'm pleasing God's people. I am. Our spokesman, God's representative, our spokesman on earth. Yes, and in the end, it brings swift destruction. The apostate teacher rejects the Lord Jesus Christ in all three of his offices, in his relation to man. He rejects him as Lord of his life and asserts his own self-will on the throne. Now, we've got people here that have set their own wills against God's will, against God's authority, as did Korah. He rejects him, rejects Christ as the prophet to instruct him or to teach him. In other words, that individual doesn't want to learn, doesn't want to know, because he's got his will set. But I believe the Lord has done this church one of the greatest favors when he frustrated the plans of Satan through those individuals who have been trying to come up here and take over this pulpit and to lead you away from the truth as it is in Christ, to lead you into errors, to those things that you were not used to hearing. So he rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet to instruct or teach him, and he rejects him as priest, and that's natural. He despises the priesthood of Christ. He sees no need of the sacrifice, and he intrudes himself in the authority of Moses, like Korah did, as a prophet. And he takes the position that he was equal with Moses as God's appointed ambassador from the courts of glory. I want us to turn over to Numbers. I told Brother Dottrell yesterday, I said, the Lord's given me a message. I can't wait to get it out off of my heart. It's burning. I hardly slept last night. Now, who was Korah? Who was Korah? Now, look at that 16th chapter. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, in that first verse, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelat, the sons of Reuben, took men. We're looking at the 16th chapter. And they arose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, Korah was a member of the tribe of Levi. He was a great-grandson of Levi, which limited his calling as priest. But he was not satisfied with that holy office, and he made the accusation to Moses, as is recorded in Numbers 16:3. Now you read that. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now people have been wondering why I have taken the position like I have since God put me in here. And like I said, you are not clear in your judgment. You have questioned my appointment, the authority, the position. No matter what I've said, no matter how much I tried to get over to you that I did not covet this job, I did not want it. I cried unto the Lord about it. But just like when God confronted Moses in all of his, like one time he told the Lord, he says, Jehovah God, I'm not eloquent in speech. I'm not a man to lead this great host of thy people, Israelites, out of Egypt. They won't listen to me. Who am I? And nevertheless, God says, you're the man. And he pled, said to somebody, no, you're the man. That's the way it was with me. I said, what a fool I'm going to be. What a fool I'm going to make of myself. Me trying to lead a people, a congregation, a ministry, worldwide ministry, me, an uneducated fool. I cried, I prayed, I tried every which way I could. The Lord says, no, you're the man. You're the man. I know all of that. But he told Moses, he says, I'll give you Aaron. He'll be your spokesman. He'll be your helper. And Aaron there was a type of the Holy Spirit there. And when God gave me this ministry, gave me all the confidence that I needed, all the trust, backed it up with himself, empowered me with the Holy Spirit, I knew right then and there that he wanted me, that I was the man. But like I said now, you listen to me, like I said, this ministry is being subjected to everything. You don't know what's going on. I'm having more calls now. I'm having letters now. And they're trying to move me. They're trying to lodge distrust in my mind, in my heart. They're trying to get me to lose confidence. They're using slander and every means in the world. I've got two letters now, two consecutive weeks, from the same place. No names, no nothing. And my wife, I was on the bed the other day, I couldn't hardly lift my head, I couldn't. She read it to me. I said, read it. She read it to me. And she said, you know, hon, she said, I think the reason why they're writing these letters is to try to scare you. I just turned over my head and I said, honey, do I look like I'm scared? She says, no. I turned over and went back to sleep. You don't know how the Lord gives his people peace, rest, his anointed. That's the reason why I know I'm where God put me. And I'll tell the world that. I'll tell it to you if you go to hell. You may question it over and over again like Korah, and you may yet do it to your doomsday, to the judgment. And our adversaries, they may continually question it and try every which way to close these doors, but I'm standing on a solid ground, on a firm foundation, and no one is going to move me. I've got my feet planted in Christ. Whether I'm sick, or I can't think, or I can't pray, or I can't believe, I'm God's anointed. And you had better listen. Here and out in radio land, those that are questioning God's leadership, because judgment is coming. God is moving, and he's about to move all of this rebellion that's been seated here for a long time. And I'll tell you the reason why the Lord's kept it down and why now it's coming forth. The Lord knew that our late pastor was burdened enough and grieved enough without having some of the dearest individuals that he's put a lot of trust and hope in to have to arise at a period when he was going down. He would have been killed a long time ago. But God held it back. But he's told me, he says, young Timothy, go after it now. Uncover it. There's a new generation coming up in here. The old generation is going to be gone. And unless those individuals come to know the Christ of God's word, they're gone. They're gone. Unless you come to bow to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him in all of his offices and trust his redeeming blood, you'll never know the grace of God. You'll never know the forgiveness of sins. You'll never know the joy that there is in the Lord. You'll go around here with a bitterness and with accusations, and you'll join yourself with every false prophet or those who are trying to take over the situation and try to work their way in here. You won't agree with anything. You'll question this and you'll question that. I don't believe this is right. I don't believe that's right. Well, who told you to believe it or not? God said it. You better believe it. Everyone who rejects Christ is demon-possessed, and they direct and control that individual. These demons lead every unsaved person in self-will, in covetousness, in lust, in defiance of authority, diverting language about others, especially God's children, God's prophets. And that's right. They know nothing of true heartfelt repentance or the withering work of God's Holy Spirit. The world accepts them because the world does not approve of the work of the Holy Spirit. Does not. Now let's see what happened over here in that 16th chapter of Numbers. When Moses heard it, in that fourth verse, he fell on his face. Every true servant of God is grieved to the heart when those especially that are close to them, that works with them, and to see the opposition coming from them. I paced the floor the other day. I said, honey, why is it? Why is it that people want to fight so much? Why is it that they just don't want to listen? Why are they stubborn like that? I walked up and down that kitchen, that floor. I said, why is it? Why do they want to rebel against the Lord, his anointed? Why do they want this pulpit? I don't understand that. This pulpit promises you nothing but debt, sacrifices, no promise of rest. It promised you nothing but the rebellious hearts of individuals that are lashed at you, the accusation of the world. This pulpit is nothing to covet after. And if God doesn't put his man here, he'd never be able to stand it. You'll easily compromise if God didn't put you here. And that's the reason why, that's the trouble with a lot of our preachers today. Many of them think they have been called of God, but they have compromised God's message, which means they have not been called or anointed of God. Moses didn't compromise. Paul didn't compromise. Our pastor didn't compromise. Now why is it? God called them. And you can name them. We have a man right now who used to be a preacher in this pulpit. He's in opposition to us. And like I'm going to warn you over and over again, he's doing his very best to draw away disciples. I don't see people here this morning that had telephone calls from him yesterday. Oh, I want to be saved. I want to do it. Yeah? Where are they? But when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And that's where it leaves the servant of God when he sees rebellion rising up. Because he knows rebellion is sin, and God hates sin. God hates sin and rebellion. All right, let's see what happened. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. To him, even him whom he had chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. And he told Korah and what his company to do. And they did that. And God's wrath was kindled against Korah and everything that appertained unto him. In that 13th verse, Moses speaking to Dathan and Abiram, he says, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land that flowed with milk and honey? That's what Dathan and Abiram and Eliab told Moses. Now here was the murmuring now. You brought us out of the land that flowed with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us. And moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance. Wilt thou put out the eyes of those men? We will not come up. And Moses was very angry. And he said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Take every man his censer. And then we drop down there to that 19th verse. And Korah gathered all the congregation against him unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces, and said, O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be angry with all the congregation? The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abram. And listen, when God's wrath is kindled, brother, there's nothing that can stop it. God's judgment against sin. All right. That 27th verse. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents. Now listen to this. Their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord had sent me to do all these works, for I have done them, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertains unto them, with all, and they go down alive into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split open that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertain to them went down alive into hell. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished among the congregation. And all Israel that was round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. So Korah was not satisfied in the office that God placed him, which was an holy office. He wasn't satisfied with that. He was after gain. He was after gain. I praise the Lord that he kept a covetous spirit out of my heart during the time my pastor's been pastor. Not one time did I want this pulpit. I only wanted to do what he asked me to do, what he saw fit for me to do. If he withdrew my service from Homer like he did several years ago, I accepted that as God's leadership. I didn't question it. He felt led to send me down to Picayune. I spent 7 to 8 years down there. God's blessed it. He's given us a people there that loves the truth, that love your pastor, our late pastor, that love this ministry and will die for it. He's granted those people. Pastor passed away, the Lord elected me here. I had no voice in it whatsoever. Some of you are still not convinced. There are others on the outside that are not convinced. They want this pulpit, and you are going to do your best to try to help them to get it. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. If I were you, if you work at any phase of this work, I'd ask God to give me grace to shut my mouth, to take my stand alongside of my pastor and let the world know that I am with him, I am praying for him, and I'm going to back him. And cease from all your murmuring and complaining and bitterness, and be content in that office. that God's put you. Because I knew for me to usurp authority over our late pastor meant I had a covetous spirit, and which in time will show that I have never come to know repentance and the work of the Holy Spirit to crush it in my breast. Now, these people out here who are on the outside looking in and looking for ways, and they tell us they got some members, two or three members in here, that are helping along the way and are siding in with them and feeling sorry for them because they're on the outside. And I got word this week from somewhere, from a source that said that the individual is saying that we put him out. Now, you and I know that we did not put Brother White and his family out of this assembly. He walked out on his own accord. I have word of mouth of testimony from our late pastor what went on between him and our late pastor. That's why I'm so bold and confirmed of what that resolution spelled, that is so. And God's confirmed it in my heart. Now, I gave him 30 days to vacate that house he's living in on our property. I haven't heard of him. He's held me in contempt because he wants this pulpit, and you were trying to give it to him. You're helping him get it. God says, go after him. And I am. There's coming a time when there's got to be separations. There's coming a time when God's people got to take their stand. There's coming a time when we got to spell out what we believe. And don't leave any uncertain note. If you for me, you're going to declare yourself. If you're against me, you're going to show yourself. I'd rather for an individual to be honest than to try to do things behind our backs. Now, I've got everything I've got here from the Lord, and don't you dare question it. And I'm taking my stand right there. This work is going on. God has opened a door for us to walk into, and no man, no one individual or group is going to close it. And I'm taking my stand against every adversary, every devil, every rebellious individual who wants to pit their will, their self-will against this pulpit and try to break down that which we have built here for years and years, the foundation of Christ, the gospel. And I'm not going to let any one individual intimidate me one way or the other. You got my back against the wall, but I'm coming out fighting by the grace of God. And you're going to be on defense, not me. I'm on the offense. Praise God for it. I'll starve you. I won't give a thing in the world to you. Well, go in the hell with your money. Nobody needs it. God doesn't ask you for your money. He gets you, he'll have your money. Do you know that? I'll starve him. I'll starve him. I won't give a penny. I show the covetous spirit right there that's never been broken. A rebellious spirit on top of that. And God's got enough. He's putting up with enough. And that's exactly what Moses came to right there. Rebellious people. People who want to take the initiative and tell God how to run his business. God's put me here. I know I'm nothing. I'm no better than any of you. I'm worse. But God's given me a heart, a love, jealous over his work, over his church, over you people, to know how Satan is coming in and how he's worked through here for the past months, getting in and getting out. I wonder what you would have thought if you were over there standing next to Moses and you saw God open that earth up and you saw all those families and all those children plunged down into the pit. Would you say, that's a shame? That's a shame. God is cruel. God is murderous. I don't think that's right. Some of you are saying, those poor children over there, they're going to be out in the street with no house. No house. Whose fault is that? That God's fault? Aren't you going to blame anything on the man? Or aren't you going to put the blame exactly where it belongs? I don't delight in putting anybody out on the street. I don't have a heart like that. He's put himself out. And if that man was any kind of a man, he'd show himself. I know him off the air. But listen, let me tell you something. Brother White has held me in contempt ever since I've been up here. Not one time has he come to me and pray that God would prosper my ministry. One time, not one time he called me on the phone. But he is laboring through this ministry. I got a call from Jackson, Mississippi. Someone up there who wanted to know certain things. I got his mind straightened up, praise the Lord. He says, Brother White is up there. He's got that mission. And I also heard that he might be working through Monroe. And no telling what in the world he's spreading, what he's saying. I have declared myself. We've declared the truth. But no telling what he's spreading. He was down at Cutoff, wasn't he? Getting to different homes. He's getting some homes of you now. He's working on your sympathy. And he's telling the untruth when he says, we've put him out. He walked out of here with his children since the pastor's death. We haven't seen hide or hair. I haven't seen hide or hair of him. I had one telephone call. I asked him one night in a nice kind way if he would marry a couple for me. I didn't have a license at the time. And he was discourteous along that line. Then right away he began to throw at me accusations. His heart was full of bitterness. I felt it. I said, my, my. My, my. I've spoken only the truth.
And now he's trying to build up a ministry within here. I heard he's going on the radio. Not long from now. That doesn't faze me one bit. Brother, I got everything I want. I've got Christ. Have you? Do you know Christ? If you know him, you'd walk with me. There would be no question in your heart and mind whether God put me here. You wouldn't flare up to me and question everything that's done. I poured my heart out this morning. I've given myself to you. The way you will accept it or receive it or reject it, that's between you and the Lord. I want to see you people saved. That's all I want. I want to see you have been coming here for year in and year out. I want to see that rebellion broken in your heart. You don't know my heart. You don't know how I'll go home this evening. I'll bleed. I'll cry. Because of you. May the Lord's blessings and his great grace rest upon us. Let us stand. Our Father, this morning we deliver thy message as you've given it to us in our weakness, but in thy strength and thy power. We leave it with you, Father, that our Father, you'll bless it, and that instead of thy judgments, that mercy will fall upon us. Every heart, it'll melt every stony heart, every rebellious spirit, that there may be rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you've given as a substitute for sinners, rebellious sinners, even the rebellious. And our Father, clear our hearts from all malice, all bitterness, all mistrust. Leave it as the heart of our Lord. For your service, to your glory, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.